Blog Talk Radio.
Can't escape disappointment, can't avoid the delay, but I don't have to make feeling down and defeated the place that I stay. Gonna rise to the moment, gonna push back the doubt that keeps dragging me down when I can't find a way. Don't need to see it, I saw you, to believe it, from my friend, before you even move on, make a way. I was standing there, I saw you, walk by the bay, from my friend, live by.
Welcome to your place. There are things that we read about in Scripture that are coming to pass in ways that we could not even imagine. This message tonight from Jack Cunningham regarding expectation is one part of three. Wild Bill will tell you that many times he has prayed for things and has had hope and even faith that God can, but not to the point of real expectation. Which, if we are being honest, is this real faith without expectation? We, like many of you, have heard it said many times that Jesus is coming back soon. But do we live every day walking in true faith to trust God in every area of our life? In looking at big picture of why we should trust Jesus with everything, we put together our music tonight to expand why we should trust him. We are very aware that many people at this time of year think about the birth of Jesus. It is our prayer that this show inspires you and that you have a very blessed Christmas and New Year. So let's have a listen.
Give honor to Brother Tenney today, who has taken me on as a special project calls me about once a week to ask about my health and give me a little Bible study. And, well, I'm not going to say what I was thinking. But he presses me and presses me and presses me to take care of myself. Tells me I'm going too much and doing too much. And I made the mistake of calling him and asking to get out of a meeting that he was hosting. Said, just let me rest and not come. He said, Brother Jack, I don't care if you got to come in an ambulance. You be here. And I appreciate this man's care. But I did tell him that he kind of lost his right. Uh-oh.
Now let me example what Brother Terry just preached. We all know this is a great man of God. But what he is telling you is a little self-revealing. He does let people speak into his life. He has never gotten above being rebuked. And that is dangerous. And I want you to know I love this man, even if he doesn't listen to me.
I do listen, Bishop. One thing I heard years ago, an old farmer said that if you ever see a turtle up on top of a fence post, one thing you know absolutely for sure, he didn't get up there by himself. And I've got men in my life that have helped me and loved me. I just stepped outside there while we were praying, called Brother Billy Cole and asked him to pray for me over the phone. I'll never be able to tell you how much I owe him, Brother Robert Hall, the prince of a Christian that I followed in Chesapeake, Virginia, the church where we're now pastoring. He pastored there 34 years. I've never known a greater Christian, a greater man of God in my life, and I owe so much to the men of God in my life that have helped me to be used of God to whatever degree that has happened. I thank God for my wife. My wife is here today. When Brother Terry was saying we need somebody to challenge us and somebody that will disagree with us and somebody that'll straighten us up, I thought to myself, I got that base covered. I love that girl. Praise God. Got a lot of Virginia preachers here, and I love every one of you. Virginia's the greatest revival district in the whole United Pentecostal Church. I don't care what Brother Cox told you last night. Virginia's the greatest revival district there is. And I thank God for Virginia. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 62. I'm not sure what the sound man just did. You just turned my monitor down. Put it back where it was, if you will. Psalm 62, starting in verse number 5. I'm going to read down through verse number 8. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. David said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Would you say that with me? My soul, wait thou only upon God. Why? For my expectation is from Him. Say it with me. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. My expectation is from Him. I want to preach to you today from the subject, the dimension of expectation. The dimension of expectation. Let's lift our hands together and thank God for what happened here last night, this morning, Sister Mangan's message, Brother Schott's message. Let's thank God for what He's done. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody shout. Somebody magnify God. Somebody get excited that God is my refuge. My expectation is from Him. I want you to, while you remain standing, raise your hands one more time. I want you to pray for Mike Williams and Wayne Huntley. that are preaching here. Now listen, we started out last night with healing. This whole morning has been healing. I'm prophesying to you that tonight the Holy Ghost is going to fall in this house like rain. I want you to pray for these two men right now, that what God would let, that when we come here at 7 o'clock this evening, 7 o'clock, not 7:30, but when we walk in this place, there's going to be a Holy Ghost outpouring from the first note until we walk out of here tonight. Would you pray that prayer right now? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know you're in this conference. I know your will is being done. Every speaker has been in the center of your will. I pray, God, that right now you would open the windows of heaven and pour out your Spirit and fill this house with faith. I pray it in Jesus' name. And tonight when we walk in here, let there be a spirit of celebration. Let there be a spirit of jubilation that fills this house, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, and you may be seated. I literally have been on a lifelong campaign, preaching faith, building faith, challenging faith, and exercising faith in God. Some 23 years ago, I first preached a little message I entitled The Seven Levels of Faith. I have probably preached that 200 times or more across our fellowship. I have studied faith in the Scripture, and I am a preacher that believes that we can get things done through faith in God that we can't get done any other way. There are several different levels, as you know, in the Scripture concerning or related to the faith that you and I can possess. In the book of Mark, Jesus asked his disciples, how is it that you have no faith? In another place, he accused them and said, O ye of little faith. In the book of Romans, it talks about the measure of faith that's given unto every man. And then in Corinthians, it talks about the gift of faith, that special unction or anointing that comes directly from God in the midst of a tumultuous situation. And then in Romans 4, the Bible talks about Abraham, who the Scripture said was strong in faith. Somebody said strong in faith. I've got a feeling I'm in the midst of a group of people today who are strong in their faith in God. I feel faith in this house. I felt faith when I walked in here last night. I know God is in this place, and I know that He's come to do something very miraculous among us. That happens because of our faith. When we were sitting in Brother Mangan's house on Monday evening, and the speakers and the general board members and all of us were gathered there, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving in such a powerful way in that house, I thought to myself, is there a more concentrated group of powerful, faith-filled men and women anywhere on the earth that would have God's attention any more readily than the group that is going to gather here this week? You are God's elect. You are God's special forces. You are God's anointed. You are men and women that love God and live for God and have preached the things of God and have faith in an almighty God. Don't you believe for a moment that God is far from us? Don't you believe for a moment that God doesn't hear us? Don't you believe for a moment that God doesn't want to work for us? God is here, and God wants to do something special among us. You believe that? Clap your hands and holler, yes! Abraham was strong in faith. The Bible talks about a centurion soldier who had great faith. And then Stephen, who the Bible said was full of faith. I have preached those seven levels for 23 years. I have studied faith in the Scripture. But after preaching that message for so long, the Lord has recently revealed to me that there is yet another dimension of faith that you and I as individuals and collectively as a church, we can move into. And that is the dimension of expectation, the dimension of believing, the dimension of assuming, the dimension of knowing that God is able, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, no matter the test, no matter the sickness, no matter the problem. In this dimension of expectation, we anticipate the very handiwork of God. No matter what we're up against, in the dimension of expectation, we are convinced that God is in charge. In the dimension of expectation, we know that no matter what happens, God is going to have the final say. In the dimension of expectation, there is no question in our mind, the battle belongs to God. The dimension of expectation, we know that God will. We may not know how, we may not know where, we may not know who He's going to use, but we know God will come through right on time. In this dimension, we expect a sovereign move of God in our midst. The dimension of expectation is nowhere better expressed than in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, when the Apostle Paul said, And we know that all things work together to good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Somebody said, we know. Where's my friend Merle at in here? Where you at, Merle? I love him like my flesh and blood brother. And we all got the news last year that Merle had prostate cancer. And it absolutely rocked my life. And then some 2 or 3 weeks later, the news that it was kidney cancer and a part of a kidney would have to be removed. And then I thought, my God, what are we going to do? And then the news came that there were 2 or 3 swollen lymph nodes. And we thought, well, it's got out of the kidney into his lymph system. And that means the end of Uncle Merle. It was in all of that I called him on the phone. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to encourage my buddy. I want to strengthen him. I want to make him feel better. I want him to know I'm praying for him every day and try to lift him up a little bit. And as I was making my way through telling him how much I love him and what I thought God could do and all of this that people are praying for you, all of a sudden Merle kind of barrels out to me and he said, Jack, God's got the final say in my life. The doctor don't have the final say. MD Anderson don't have the final say. Cancer don't have the final say. When you live in the dimension of expectation, you know that no matter what it is, God has the final say. You see, my friend, expectation goes beyond hoping for a good outcome. Expectation is bigger than desire. Expectation is more than wishful thinking. It's more than pleading. It's more than want. It's more than longing. Expectation is anticipation. Expectation is assuming. Expectation is belief. Expectation is certainty. Expectation is confidence. Expectation is knowing. Expectation is looking forward to what God's going to do. Expectation is trust in God. No wonder David said, my expectation is from Him. Paul said, preaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, I do it with all confidence. In the Amplified Version, the book of Galatians, Paul tells the church of Galatia, he said, through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith, we anticipate and we wait for the blessing of God. To the church of Thessalonica, Paul wrote again in the Amplified Version, he said, our preaching was not with great conviction, but with absolute certainty. John 3:33 says, God is true in the Amplified Version, that man has definitely certified, acknowledged, declared once and for all, and is himself assured that it is the divine truth, that God cannot lie. Everybody said assured. Everybody said I know. Say certainty. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe that God is about to finish a work in here in just a couple of minutes that he began before you and I ever got to town. This church has been plugged in to your needs and my needs for some days now. They've been fasting and praying. They've anticipated us coming to town, and they've been ready to minister to us. And the pastor, the senior pastor, and pastor's mother have each stood in this pulpit already and opened their hearts up to us, preaching that God can and God will heal us. It's time for this conference to move into the dimension of expectation. It's time to quit talking about it and realize that God is going to do it. You can be assured of it. Prophecy has already come forth that God is moving his church into a new dimension. And I believe that God is moving pastors and pastors' wives and ministers and key leaders this week into the dimension of expectation. I applaud you, United Pentecostal Church pastor, who's trying to do everything you can to grow your church. I applaud you for attending seminars, for reading every book that makes you a better leader. I promise you that I tip my hat to you if you're trying to apply proven growth principles to the place where you minister. Do all of it. Do everything you can do to make yourself and your church more efficient, to make your leadership more effective. But can I tell you that when we've done all we can do, when we've made every effort in our human ability, there is a dimension in God that we've got to move into that is the miraculous and the supernatural. There are some things that only God can do. Hello? Brother Anthony Mangan mentioned a sovereign move of God and praying for a sovereign move of God in our services. When he did, Elder G.A. Mangan turned around and he looked at me and he said, I pray every day for a sovereign move of God. He said, every day of my life, I tell God that there's things that has to happen today that nobody or no thing can do but him. We've got to live in that dimension where we expect God to do things we can't do. We've got to move into that dimension where we say, God, this is bigger than me. I need you to take over. Something happens to a church that moves into the dimension of expectation. Brother Anthony talking about some of our churches suffering. I'm pastoring a revival church right now, and I thank God for it. But in the midst of the greatest personal revival I've ever been a part of in my life, in the midst of the greatest local church revival that I've ever seen, we've got backsliders, we've got kids that are getting pregnant, we got young people that are on drugs, we got kids that are messing up their lives, and saints that are turning their back on God, and all kind of sickness, and yes, death, and situations with the economy. It's all there. But I'm telling you, my friend, in the midst of all of that, if you can hold your faith in God, don't give up, get up. Don't allow the devil to slap you down and keep you down. Get back up and declare, I expect God to do something great for me. A little lady in our church by the name of Jovita. Jovita's a precious little thing. She runs the aisles, dance. She loves God with all of her heart, talks in tongues, prays and worships. And she come up to me and said, Pastor, the doctors told me I had cancer. And she said, it's a very serious cancer. And she said, I just wanted you to know that I'm going on vacation. And I said, pardon me, you just told me that you got cancer, but you're leaving tomorrow for vacation. That little old lady, brand new convert in the church, still got hair chopped off, and she don't know all there is to know about it, but a brand spanking new convert. She looked at me and said, oh yeah. She said, I got cancer, but she said, what you don't know is that when I came to the church and was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, they had told me I had colon cancer then, and God healed me. She had never told me that. She said, God healed me of the colon cancer. And she said, if God can heal me once, God can heal me twice. I'm going to Florida for vacation. A little woman with the issue of blood that had spent all of her money on the doctors and made her way to where Jesus was and began to press through the crowd. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. In the dimension of expectation, we go to church expecting a sovereign move of God. We go to church anticipating salvation and healing and deliverance and miracles and power and strength and encouragement. It's going to happen. We know that something significant is going to happen every time we go to the house of God in the dimension of expectation. I was standing, this underlined this particular thing God was trying to teach me. It underlined it in my life when I was in Thailand. We gave an altar call, and many of you that are here have been to Thailand with us. We gave an altar call for those that wanted to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and there we put chairs out for them to sit on, and we know exactly how many people are there to pray because they count every chair and count the people. And so one of the young ministers there had counted, and he comes up to the edge of the platform, and he said, 50 are praying for the Holy Ghost. There's 50 chairs here. And so I turned to Brother Chayun, the general superintendent, and I said, Brother Chayun, there's 50 chairs out here, and there's 50 people that are praying for the Holy Ghost. He carries a ledger around with him with his Bible that he keeps records in. It's about all the records the whole church has for the whole nation. It's in that ledger. And so he opens the ledger up and he writes down 50 received the Holy Ghost. We haven't prayed for one person yet. We haven't given an instruction. Nobody's printed. He just writes 50 received the Holy Ghost. I looked at him and I said, Brother Chayun, we haven't prayed yet. I said, how do you know 50's going to get it? He said in his broken English, he said, 50 pray, 50 get it. Expectation isn't dependent on me. Expectation in God isn't dependent on how I feel. It's knowing that God can do anything and that God is ready and willing to move for us. Somebody shout hallelujah. Brother Anthony prophesied to us last night that 2007 will be a year of great harvest. That it will be a year where people will be swept into the kingdom of God. Unsaved husbands and wives and children and neighbors and friends and fellow workers. It's going to happen this year. And I've come to tell you something tonight. I'm not hoping that it's going to happen. I don't have my fingers crossed thinking maybe if I'm lucky it's going to happen. I haven't made any wishes on a star. I've come to tell you I expect it. I expect God to move. I expect the greatest year of harvest that the United Pentecostal Church and Oneness Apostolic have ever known. You hear me? I expect backsliders to be restored. I expect miracles and healings to take place. I had pneumonia and was in bed from Christmas Day till the first week of January, but I made myself go to church on Sunday. And I got up in the pulpit and I said to the church, I can't preach to you, but I've come to tell you something. God spoke back to me in the middle of December. God spoke to me and said 2007 is going to be the greatest year of harvest we ever had. And I told that church, I said, put it on the tape, write it down in the front of your Bible, and put today's date on it and my name beside it. And if it's not true, you come tell me next year. But I got news for you, honey. It's true. It's going to happen. This is going to be a year to remember. Brother Arnold, one of the most important revelations that God has given to me about expectation is that the move of God is not dependent upon how I feel. The move of God is not dependent upon how good I do. I was about 25 years old preaching with Brother Billy Cole in Thailand. We got invited to go preach to a bunch of denominational ministers. I think they were Presbyterian, if I remember the story right. And we preached to them. I preached Acts 2:38. He did the translating. We had a great service. And there was 50 or 60, if I remember right, that were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And almost every one of them ministers. We got in the van heading home. And I made the mistake. Some of y'all don't know my Uncle Bill. I made the mistake of saying to him, Uncle Bill, I'm sorry. I really did a bad job preaching today. He turned to me. He was in the front seat of the van. I was in the back. Had a little Thai driver driving us around. He turned around in that seat and he said, I rebuke the spirit of pride that's in you. I said, hold on. I just told you I'm sorry. I did a bad job. He said, anybody that'll take the fault when it goes wrong is going to take the credit when it goes good. And he said, what you need to understand, boy, is it don't matter what you do or what you say or what you think you are. God promised us revival. God promised to pour out His Spirit. And every time we walk into the pulpit, we need to anticipate God doing what He said He would do. A genuine move of the Holy Ghost is not dependent on whether I have a good day or a bad day. It's not dependent on the circumstances that I'm going through right now. It's not dependent on whether I can muster up a little bit of faith and say it just right. It's dependent on Him. And honey, He don't fail. You see, when God's people come together in one mind and in one accord, expecting a move of God, and begin to lift Him up and magnify His name. It's this simple. He shows up. Don't make it any more complicated than that when you get home this Sunday. Say, I don't have Brother Mangan's choir. I don't have Brother Mangan's musicians. I don't have this beautiful facility. It's just me and Mama running the service. It's just me and her and a few kids and a couple old sinner adults having church. I got news for you, honey. That book said where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm going to be in the midst of them. You can expect Him to show up. It's not something you got to hope for. It's not even something you got to pray about. You can expect it to happen. I sit on the platform at our church in service now, and I catch myself over there looking through the audience, I said, I don't recognize him, and I don't recognize her. And, oh, that family's got another family with them tonight. And, oh, there's a person come in on crutches, and over there, that guy, man, he looks like an old drug addict. And I sat there with a little grin on my face, and I'm just thinking, yeah, he's going to get it. She's going to get it. Yeah, God's going to turn their life around. Before they leave here today, they're going to get the Holy Ghost, because there's an expectancy turning inside of me. God's never failed me. God's never let me down. Every time we go to the house of God, we have a move of God. Every time we go to church, we have good church. And I'm here to tell you today that if you can move your church into that dimension of expectancy, into that dimension that I believe God's going to show up and God's going to do something great, there's going to be things begin to unfold that'll blow your mind. We are having great revival. I took a church that is one of the greatest apostolic churches on the East Coast, a foundation under it of doctrine and standards and worship. The church has been known for its worship. It is exuberant, zealous worship over the years. They averaged 265 in attendance the 3 months before I got there. It was a great church in every way. But God began to give us unprecedented revival. I'm happy to tell you today that we have baptized 350 in water in the name of Jesus, and God has filled 740 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell somebody today that if you'll step into the dimension of expectation, if you'll step into that dimension of assuming God's going to do it, of believing that God's going to show up. One of the things we do, I didn't plan it, I wish I could take credit for it, but we got a lot of ministers in the church, and we had a lot of sickness going on. And on Sunday morning, about a year and a month ago, I got up and I said, there's so many here that have needs. If you need prayer, be here tonight at 6 o'clock. All of our ministers will be standing across the front of the altar area, and one of them will minister with you, and they won't be in a hurry. And that whole 30 minutes before church, we'll pray for you. We had a church full of people at 6 o'clock. It went so good, and God filled one brand new center with the Holy Ghost between 6 and 6:30 before we ever went out into church. It went so good that I said, well, we'll do it again next week. And now a year and a month later, we're still having pre-service prayer at 6 o'clock every Sunday night. Sometimes it's 7 o'clock or 7:15 before we get to start the formal service, because the Spirit of God breaks out while we're praying for needs in such a powerful way that we can't even start church on time. I can't tell you how many have been filled with the Holy Ghost before we ever start service. I can't tell you how many's already been baptized before we ever start service. How many people are healed. We got people that are coming for that 30 minutes of prayer that don't even stay for church. We've had pastors of other churches that come for prayer and then leave and go to their church after they've been prayed for at our church. I got news for you, honey. When there is an excitement and an expectation that gets a hold of your people, when it gets down in their heart that God is working for us and God's going to do something great among us, there's no stopping that kind of church. Just this past week, a pastor of a, Brother Anthony Mangan said it last night, a blank Pentecostal church called me on the phone. His last name is Daly. He called me. He said, I heard your Christmas program message on the internet. And in that Christmas program message, I did an awful lot of talking about who Jesus was and how that he was the mighty God in Christ. And he said, I heard your message, your Christmas message, and I need to talk to you. I said, I'd be glad to talk to you. He said, well, I pastor such and such a church here in town. But he said, God's been dealing with me about being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I need to meet with you, and I need to talk to you about baptizing me. That no more than happened. I can't remember the boy's name, but the pastor of the Pentecostal Holiness Church walked in on Sunday night. He should have been in his own church service on Sunday night, but he was in ours, and I sent one of the young men back. I said, go back and ask him how he's doing and what's going on. And they come back to the platform and said, he said, tell you God gave him a revelation of the mighty God in Christ, and that he wants to be baptized in Jesus' name, and that he's planning on turning in his credentials with another organization, and he wants to start following the United Pentecostal Church. Am I surprised? No way. I walked into a church one night with about 120 people. Again, most of them leaders. Billy Cole was preaching. He got done preaching, gave an altar call, and nearly every human in that church, Baptist or something, some other denomination church, nearly every human in that church received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And again, I made the mistake, Brother Morgan. We get in the van, we're heading home. And I said to him, I said, can you believe what God did tonight? He turned around to me and like only my Uncle Bill could. You ever got a Billy Cole look? He turned around and looked at me and said, I would have been absolutely astounded if God wouldn't have done that. You know what he was trying to say? He said, I went there expecting a move of God. I went there expecting God to show up. I went there expecting God to pour out His Spirit. I went there expecting that God was going to do something supernatural. Stay standing. I've been preaching long enough. I got more notes, but I've been preaching long enough. I want you to turn to somebody right now. There's so much faith in this place. I'm telling you, I can reach out and grab a hold of it. I want you to turn around and slap your hand on their head like you believe God's fixing to do something supernatural in their life. Come on, somebody. Lay your hand on the head of somebody next to you and begin to pray, God, I know you're going to show up. Come on, don't wish for it. Don't hope for it. Tell God you know He's going to do it. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. He's doing it right now. Right now He's doing it.
baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? When you kissed your little baby, then you kissed the face of God.
Well, we had some fantastic preaching there. I don't know if she's going to be able to talk with us or not. Blog Talk Mom, are you with us tonight? I'm guessing she's not going to be able to talk. We kind of reversed tonight. She's the one that's working, and I'm the one that's not working. So kind of miss her not coming in to add what she always asks to the show. A lot of people probably wonder why we had this great sermon on about expectations on faith and then the songs I chose to play at the end. But when you stop and look at big picture of everything that God has done for us, yeah, Christmas time is the time you think about the birth of a baby, and that's all real cute and sweet, but you can't separate all the prophecies and the foundations that was going into place of what he came to do. He didn't come just to be a baby and a cute kid to a mom and to live life and to just go through the things that we go through here. He came to be that perfect sacrifice for us because he loved us so much. And it amazes me how in this song they can so much recognize that there's only one God. And they talk about Jesus. They talk about Mary kissing the face of God, and they pull in from those scriptures that talk about that, and that so many people miss it, and they try to say it's three separate people. And I'm not trying to get off on that because that's not really what this is about tonight. Faith is one of those things that I am so guilty of knowing that God can do something, but not knowing if God will do something. And yet if you go into his word, he lets us know if our natural parents, being evil, know how to give us good things, how much more does he want to do good things for us? It's in his purpose. You know, everywhere he went, except for the place where he wasn't accepted in his homeland, that everywhere else he did great and mighty works. Went into towns and everyone was healed. Everyone's needs were met when he came to town. And yet we talk about God's presence being in church, how we need to want God's presence to be there. And we had a message, you know, I think last week it was talking about, you know, through praise. You know, God inhabits the praise of our people. And so, but it's really, really simple sometimes to get into a rut on faith. Do you have faith? Yeah, you can raise your hand and say, yeah, I got all kinds of faith. Really? So when you got prayed for and they anointed you with oil, like the Bible says, and James said, if any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and a prayer of faith will raise the sick. Let them anoint you with oil and a prayer of faith will raise the sick. And so you've had that done, and then you're like, okay, someone may say something about, hey, leave for joy, leave for your healing. And then what goes through your mind? Okay, can I leap? Is it going to hurt? Or am I just going to do it as a trial to see if everything's working like it should be? You know, maybe it, all this stuff in my back and neck, maybe it's not going to be an issue anymore, so I'm going to leap. Or do you have an expectation that when I leap, that when I'm making sure God's presence is there, we've obeyed Scripture, am I in a place to where I expect God to do what he said he was going to do? And I have to be honest, so many times I realize that I have little faith when it comes to things like that. Now, we're praying for other people. I have an exuberant amount of faith. And I realize that what it is like this preacher was talking about, it's a pride thing. I think that I'm not worthy to have those things in my life. And so it's pride backwards, if you want to put it that way, of thinking I'm not worthy. It's, you know, it's, I know it's a small thing for God, but he's got all these big, important things to do and all these other important people he's going to do these things. And you get thinking, you know, I got troubles with issues with family members and things, and I can't get everything in sync and make it to mesh like a family, like I want it to. And so you try to figure out how to put your hands to it, and you pray about it. But how much time do you spend thanking God for doing what you haven't even seen yet? I was sharing with someone the other day how that I got up in front of a church and I testified that I believed that I was prayed for, as the scripture said. I was anointed with oil. The prayer of faith went forth. And so from that, the Bible says, I'm to be healed. Now, it's not been an instant thing, but I'm claiming my healing now. And someone said, well, that's a lie. You're not healed yet. But when you have true faith, you understand that it may not be in my time. It may not be in the way that I want it to be. I'm just trusting God. God may know that if he healed me, that it might cause me to fall into a sin that could cause me to lose my soul. And so in his wisdom and his knowing my heart's desire is to please him and to make it to heaven, because I sure don't want to go to the other place. Maybe God's delaying that to let me mature in this situation right here. And I'm not going to lie, I'm just like every one of you. I have these things go through my head, you know, well, you know, maybe this is all happening because God's wanted me to go ahead and retire and just, you know, work in ministry and teaching and helping out in church full time. You know, I had that happen, you know, when this phase all came up before. I was wondering if that's what it was. And financially, we need about another 3 or 4 months for it to work out. And then here I go, I have a head-on collision. I'm like, man, I can't afford to buy a new car. You know, I don't know how the insurance, the police don't show fault anymore in the state of Tennessee. So I have to wonder, you know, what the insurance company's going to do. Are they going to go after the other person? You know, all the time I'm missing off work right now because I've not been released to go back to work. But, you know, your mind just churns on these things. But yet when you have a spirit of expectation, and listening to messages like this will help you have a spirit of expectation to where you're sitting there saying, whoa, wait a minute. I don't have to fight the battle. I can't fix this. It's just like I couldn't save myself. I couldn't go back and kill an animal to take care of my sins. It only moved them off from 1 year to the next. Perfect sacrifice. I had to believe on him. I had to expect. I had to have a spirit of trust and expectation that when I repented of my sins, that blood came and it covered all those multitudes of sins in my life. I had to have faith in that because I don't actually see blood flowing over me. I don't. But you got to have a faith and a confidence in those things, right? And so the same thing where it talks about the first sermon that was preached at the birth of the New Testament church. Peter said you got to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. We shouldn't be surprised about that because Luke told Jesus was right there. He told them to go to Jerusalem until they was endued with power. And he said repentance and remission of sin was going to be taught, not repentance was remission of sin. But yet we got all these other doctrines and denominations that want to come up and make it just one thing. And you can't shoot your way out of heaven once you've done this. It's like a magic shield you put on you and everything. And I understand that God's power and his wisdom and his strength and his mercy is everlasting. His mercy endures forever. But we have an accountability to obey him. Not that my works can save me, but like Paul said, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Because faith without works is dead. And so obedience is not even works. Obedience to God is just what he told us to do. But even at that, then it talks about you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a free gift that's given to us. It'd be like buying a car and not putting gasoline in it. You know, like, man, I got this great car. Look at it. Well, start it up. Well, it ain't got no gas in it. How in the world do I think that I'm going to walk and be a Christian life and strive for the mark if I don't have the Holy Ghost inside of me leading and guiding me into all truth, coming alongside of me as a paraclete to kind of reinforce me and lean me towards the things to let me know, oh, you need to watch out here as a warning head. It's kind of like radar detector, radar ahead, be careful. You know, it's letting you know there's the devil's got a trap ahead, be careful. And if you listen to that voice and you do what it says to do, slow down, stop, pray, wait on God, all sorts of little things come up when those things happen. Lean on God. The one that's hardest for me is stop. Stay where you are. I'm like, just tell me what to do. I'll do anything. Just tell me what to do. But no, sometimes it's stop. Stay where you are. And I'm confessing to all of you out there that this is not something simple or easy for me to do. I don't know anybody that is totally simple for them to do. My mom, whose life is probably 100% involved with ministry, counseling, feeding the poor, going out and doing stuff with people from halfway houses with drugs and alcohol out of prisons and different things, all these different things that she does, passing out her music albums to people and then being able to share her testimony with them, all those things that she could do, even she would tell you that there's times that she has to stress over these things. These things come to her mind. Wasn't long ago, she had a fire in her house. You say, wow, why would this have to happen? Smoke damage all over the place. And anyone that's ever dealt with insurance companies can tell you that it's one of the worst nightmares that you could ever hope to deal with in your life. It's awful. They're supposed to be representing you. You pay for the insurance, and yet they want to treat you like a criminal. And they help all these other people come in and steal from you till all the money's gone and half the work's not done. And that's just the nature of how it is. It's almost like you have to be right on them 24/7 and up in their face being abrasive with them and not taking them at their word to not allow these things to happen. But until you've actually had it happen, you don't know that. After it happens, you say, oh, man, yeah, I ain't ever going to let them do me like this again. I ain't going to let this happen. Hopefully it don't ever happen in your life at all. But if it happens once, that's one time too many. And it's probably never going to happen again. So you can't have the benefit of what you've learned from that experience going through that. And that's where you got to have this spirit of expectation, where you're leaning and trusting on God with every aspect of your life. Hey, I got some of my family that can't get along, and they're doing some things that drives me up the wall, and they're not communicating with me like I wish they would. All I got to do is take that and lay it on the altar. And then I got to step back and take my hands off of it. So you can't give God something and take it with you and go walking off with it, like trying to put your hands on it, try to fix it and everything. The result of that, I can tell you, is a mess. It's going to be worse than what you wished you had never prayed for, because you have told God, I'm giving this to you, and then you want to pick it up, and this heavy weight and this heavy burden of what this is, you're carrying it. And he's like, okay, you laid it at the altar. You put my yoke upon you. Let me carry this. You know, my yoke is easy. My yoke is light. You know, come together and be hooked with me in walking this race. And this race is going to have to be run with what? We got to run it with faith. And without a spirit of expectation, is there real faith? This message has encouraged me so much, but there again, the songs I played at the end, I want to remind all of us, we have seen so many changes in our lifetime just here in the last 4 or 5 years that I would have never thought would have happened. the things with homosexual marriage. I can't believe that happened in my lifetime. I would have never believed that our country would allow something like that to happen. The things to where good is being called evil and evil being called good, I thought that had happened years ago, but I'm seeing it more now than ever before. To where you can't hardly tell what's up and what's down anymore because of the political structure, the way they're putting everything out there. You know, you got to take this shot if you want to keep your job, and then all these other groups are coming up here saying you're going to die if you take the shot, and there you are in the middle. You know, like, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And so you have to just kind of have faith and pray and trust God and then deal with it to whatever measure you feel like you can deal with it. But there again, you have to lay these things upon the altar and trust God and leave it there. Because when you don't leave it there, just think about, why would you do that? It would be like buying a meal and having it prepared for you exactly the way you want it and then just walk off and leave it. It's the other way around with the things of God, to leave things there. He's prepared this all for us where we can lay these things down. It's already bought and paid for. He's already done it. He's promised it. His promises are yea and amen, which means yes and so be it. That's his promises, yes and so be it. I'm staying on your promise, Lord. You said I could be healed if I trust you. By your stripes we were healed. I'm going to stand on these scriptures. I'm going to stand upon your word. I still got problems with my neck and back. So what does that mean? Does it mean that I'm not doing something pleasing to God? Does it mean that it's not to be the time yet? Does it mean, is there some kind of special thing to this that maybe I haven't had the right person pray for me and they didn't say the right words in the right way and there wasn't enough of God's Spirit there to make these things happen? No, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with trusting God, and it will happen the way it's supposed to happen. I love what that one minister told him. He says, hey, No, nothing is going to happen to me that God does not want it to happen to me. When you're walking with God, Satan can't come in and tempt you. He can't come in and if God gives him permission to do so. He's got Satan on a short leash. When you're walking the walk and you're talking the talk in everything that you're trying to do, he's on a short leash and God's sitting there holding him. He only allows him to do certain things. And those things happen to better us, to make us stronger, to add to my faith, to give me more of an understanding about God than what I've ever had before. You can hear about his word, and you can hear people that can speak, use $50 words, and they have a perfect way of wording things to where you're like, wow, just every word they say, it just like encourages me. And, man, I just wish I could talk like that. But yet, that's not where the power is. It's not in the big words and speech patterns and things like that. The power comes from God. That song with Mary was, you know, she was talking, breathe on me. That breath of God is the Holy Ghost that he's still pouring out today. They heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind as the Holy Ghost came and fell on them in the upper room. And they came out into the streets, and everybody thought they was a bunch of drunks at first, and 3,000 people was added to the church. That's faith in something that's happened. So when you hear these ministers talking about, hey, 50 prayed, 50 get it. They're having expectation that if these people are sincere and they're up here and they came to these chairs and we're going to pray for them, they're going to get the Holy Ghost. I wish Blog Talk Mom was with us tonight. I hate that she ain't. If she could talk, she could push one on her phone, but I know she probably can't. And I see my darling wife, Starla, has not raised her hand, so I cannot think of anything else to add to what was said tonight other than the fact that I'm going to bring you two other ministers and we're going to be talking about expectation. Uh-oh, I see a hand. Blog Talk Mom?
Yes,
hello?
I am. I've listened. Can you hear me?
I can hear you good.
Okay, I'm enjoying everything about it. It just was a little transitional time here. I'm at work, so I didn't want to be distracted at all. So, but I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and you're absolutely right. Our trust is in the living God, and he never fails. He is so awesome.
Amen. But even at that, we still have times in our own self and in our own mind, which if you understand why our mind is enmity between us and God, it's so easy to want to figure out our own ways to try to fix these things sometimes. Do you still have problems with that, Blog Talk Mom?
Absolutely. Because we feel the pressure, and we feel pressure, like you said, about the shot and different things, to make the right decision. We do not want to make the wrong decision, of course, and then yet we're put in a position where what is the right or wrong decision under those, you know, the new circumstances. So I have found at my age and at right now that the Bible has a power for me, like, and you, I love the Bible. I love the scripture. And I'm studying the book of Matthew. I'm in the 5th chapter right now, studying with a couple that have had miracles. I mean, she was healed of cancer, and just she's coming to the Lord in such an awesome way, and her husband. And it's just so beautiful to look at the scripture fresh every day. It's God talking to us. There's no limit to how many different things that he can say through one scripture. And as I was reading and studying today and going through all of the Beatitudes, which are there's so much in it. It's just the most miraculous. When Jesus went to the Sermon on the Mount and he began to give the Beatitudes, that's not something you choose. I'll be this, I'll be that. No, it's for all of us. Each, that is us, the all 8 of them. That's us. And that's our relationship with God. That's our total belief that all of these things are going to be in the will of God as we approach eternity. And I just highly recommend anybody listening, anybody at this point in their life, go back to the Word of God diligently. And as I was just totally, it was just so, I had 8 pages, I think, of notes already, and just in the first, that 12 verses. And then Sister Starla called and told me a dream that she had had. And the dream totally went right along with what I was, what I'd been studying, that God is, we don't know when the rapture is, but we know there will be a rapture. We don't know when we may leave this life, but we know we might. You know, we don't know the definite times and seasons, but we do know God. And in the dream, she had one particular part of the dream, and she couldn't remember the third part. And I was praying about that, and the Lord said, that's because when Jesus gave this tremendous Sermon on the Mount and everything he ended, Matthew 24, when he got to that part of the end time, but he said there are some things that are only in the mind and heart of the Father. We trust, like you said, it's trust. And, you know, I always think of Job, though God slay me, yet I trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. And we can't lose, but we do have a choice. And it's just, it's amazing, amazing grace for sure. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I do need to leave now, but thank you so much, Wild Bill and Sister Starla, for this wonderful program.
Well, thank you for being able to talk to us a little bit. We love you, Blog Talk Mom, and we pray everything's going well down there in the big state of Mississippi.
It is. It really is. I would like to quickly say I had made an error that was going to cost me a lot of money because I didn't read all the fine print about deferred interest. And so this money I'm paying it off, and it's going to save me twice as much money as I'm paying off. And the Lord is just awesome. And so pray for this family. It's a wonderful family, and I love you, and God bless you.
All right. Love you too, Blog Talk Mom. You have a blessed night. Well, looks like you guys. Whoops.
What? Am I muted or unmuted?
I did myself. Now I got it right. I got me back on, and now I'm muting you, Blog Talk Mom. Okie doke. Anyway, she's having to work, and she's helping some people that set up with someone that's ill or someone that's elderly. I'm not really sure what the situation is. And she's like the Energizer Bunny. She just goes on and on and on. But I pray that something in this lesson tonight, this sermon, spark something in you to have a spirit of expectation, to believe, to trust to lean on God in ways that you never could or maybe never have before, and to not just lean on your own understanding. It's just the Bible warns us about trying to do those things. I can't tell you, one of my prayers every day is, Lord, create within me a right mind and a clean heart so I don't sin against you. You know, anything that's evil, anything that's not of moral character, and anything that's not of good business, and things that would look bad in my life to come back on the church, you know, I ask God to help me in my workplace. Lord, let it be them see that I'm a good worker, that, you know, I work to strive to be pleasing to them in what I do with my job. You know, those things are important. And so I want it to be that I'm the person that, you know, I will stand up against things like, you know, someone trying to bully someone or something like that, but yet I'll always try to speak peace into the situation. That's what I want to do. And there again, like I said before, those things sometimes just be flesh is flesh, and flesh wants to stand up and be seen and heard, and it gets us out of control. Well, nobody else has got their hand raised up, so we're going to go ahead and close out our show tonight. We pray that you got blessed by something in this show, and we're going to be back here next week with another sermon on expectations. So Lord bless each and every one of y'all, and we'll be back here with you next week at your place, or your place. Not my place, it's your place. Charlotte always does that, and I never can get it right. Miss her tonight. Anyway, you guys be blessed. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.